LT LaDainian Thomas in the house! In the house! In the house! Hey, I had a vision. I had a vision that we would at least get the chant, because we got to do the chant. Five letters. L-T. Let's go. Let's give it to him. Amen, 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 amen. I got to play Oprah. You had 31 touchdowns and you won a lot of awards. You know, the man of the year, player of the year, offensive this year, everything of the year. I think you might have won a Nickelodeon child favorite something of the year or something. Of all the awards you won, which one's the favorite?
I would say the man of the year. First is the Walter Payton man of the year. And I watched Walter Payton, you know, he was the reason why I wanted to play football. You know, at 5 years old, I remember seeing him play. And from that point on, I wanted to be Walter Payton. And so, you know, that was special to me. But also, it not only signified what I did on the field, but more so what I did off the field in the community. And so that's special, because I think that's where, you know, where you touch people's lives at.
And one of the things everybody knows about you, you know, the football awards, everyone knows the records, most points. I mean, we go on and on. I went to the website. I can't say all this stuff. It's going to take 50 hours. But you have three foundations because you invest in the community. Why don't you tell us one or two of those? I know one is the 21 Club.
Yeah. Our foundation, my wife and I started, is Tomlinson's Touching Lives Foundation. And what we do so many different events in the community, bettering the community through education, social awareness, uplifting the community. And we do so many events. You know, we have a turkey drive where we pass out. I think last year we passed out over 1,500 turkey dinners to families. And, it's really been great, the things that we've been able to do. And it's because of great people in this community that have allowed us to do that. So it's been a blessing.
Mm-hmm. You're cool. You are cool, okay? Got your green on. Because when we give them the ball, it's money. I assume that's what that's all about. Got your nice alligator shoes. What kind of are those?
I think the crocodile. I just like the way they look.
Crocodile, you know. I told them when those shoes get together and have babies, I want a pair, you know. So when they... We want to know, I mean, you're still a regular guy. You still put your pants on one leg at a time, blah, 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 blah. Oh, there they go. They put the shoes on. I was wondering what they were... I hope I didn't say anything bad. Tell us about the goofy side of LT, the uncool, the regular. Not the regular, the regular.
The regular. I'm scared of bees, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, I cannot deal with bees. I've been like that since a little kid. The funny thing is I was in Pop Warner, and a bee got inside my helmet and stung me. And I was out of the game. The team lost, you know. And, you know, I was over on the sideline with a bag of ice on my head because of a bee. So from that moment, I've been scared of bees ever since.
We do not want to tell the Raiders that, the Denver Broncos that. It's funny because I was telling them backstage, so I'm going to ask you a question, this question, like a goofy question, like you're scared of spiders. I was kind of joking. Any kind of bee?
Yeah, any kind of bee. I'm scared of them.
Okay. Yeah. How'd you get the name LT?
A long time ago, one of my best buddies, you know, all my friends got tired of calling me LaDainian. You know, when you wait down the street, they can't say LaDainian, you know. It just won't work, you know. It's too long. So they just, LT, they just started calling me LT when I was about 11 years old, and it stuck. And I've been LT ever since.
Has your mom ever called you LT?
No, she hasn't. she has not ever called me LT.
How about your wife?
No, she does. Well, when she's mad at me, she calls me LT. But the funny thing, my family, they call me, you know, my name is LaDainian. My family calls me Danian for short.
Danian.
Danian, yeah. But they don't pronounce it all the way Danian. They just say Danian. Danian.
Okay. So you really don't know what your name is. What is your name? What's the weirdest someone ever called you?
Oh, my goodness. Ladarius. Ladarius.
Ladarius.
Ladarius.
What is the weirdest thing someone ever done to you?
You know, the funny thing is, when I see people in the public sometimes at a store or something, people always say, you know, you look like LaDania. And, you know, that's the funniest. And I say, you know, I get that all the time.
And then they walk away.
They walk away.
There's maybe some of y'all sitting out there right now, that was you. Like, man, I could have got an autograph. When people see you every day on TV, you're so calm, you're so mellow, and, you know, your mom, we give a lot of credit to your mom for that. We give a lot of credit to Texas, because Texas does something to dudes. It's true. Yeah, if y'all meet from people from Texas, they're just, like, more proper than people from everywhere else. New York, we're the king of rude. California's the king of, hey, you know.
The reason why I think most people are like that from Texas is because no matter, everybody whoop you in Texas. I mean, the people next door, you know, the people around the corner, everyone whoops you if you're not, you know, proper and give respect to the elders.
So your neighbor will give you a spanking?
Oh, yeah.
We had that growing up. Now they got child protective services, but we used to get beat, you know, three houses down, bap up the back side of your head, bap up, and by the time you get home, you're like, woo, woo, woo. Okay.
She whoop you, too.
Yeah, she whoop you, too. Dad whoop you. When people get saved, and ask Christ to be their Savior, there's a lot of context to that leading up to them life. They go through pain. They go through heartache. Something helps them realize, I need God. Tell us about your experience.
You know, I've been in church all my life, you know, but it was, you know, there was times where, you know, just going to go, you know, because I thought it was the right thing to do. And I guess it was in junior high. I was in eighth grade. And had just passed to go to ninth grade, and I realized we were going to move to a different city or country town. I realized that. And so my freshman year, I just got, you know, depressed, really depressed, and, you know, was away from all my friends. I didn't know anyone. And, you know, it was at that time that, you know, started to go to church more and more. And, you know, one day, you know, I had an older cousin, you know, who was a senior at the time, and I looked up to him. You know, he was the only one that really I was close to, and I looked up to him, and one day at church, you know, I had seen him, you know, come to Christ and really change his life, and from that point, I started to really just follow him, and it was at that time, a couple of Sundays later, that, you know, I received Christ, and, you know, really just changed my life, because at the time before, remember, I said I was depressed, mm-hmm. and, you know, was going through some things, and, you know, from that point on, you know, my life got better because of Christ, and I really just, you know, felt like from that point on, there was no way I was going to turn back.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about how Christ ministers you day in, day out. I mean, you're like mob, cameras everywhere, people that is, and how does Christ deal with you on a daily basis now?
Well, I think, you know, it keeps balance in my life, you know, waking up in the morning and making sure I pray, you know, and seek him first. And, you know, he's really guided me, you know, in situations where, you know, get bigger than who I am. You know, at times I look to him and he always direct me in the right path, you know, stand in my Bible, you know, I'm really trying to gain wisdom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, because we don't know it all as humans. We don't know it all. And so the Bible helps us gain wisdom for different situations in our life, because we all go through trials and tribulations. That's the way it is. Me, you, I'm not perfect at all, you know, but just seeking God every day helps me maintain a balance in my life.
You're talking about you lost your dad and your brother recently, and the Lord is obviously critical in supporting you in that process. Tell us about that process and how that was for you.
You know, it was difficult, you know, because you never prepare to lose a father and, you know, a brother. because you figure they will always be there. And, you know, I just went from the point of being shocked, you know, to kind of being down, knowing that I would never see him again, see them, my brother and my father again on earth. And so, you know, you kind of look for strength, and it's at that time that God always, you know, he always comes and really gives you strength through the times and through the community and people, friends and family kind of helped me through the situation. And, you know, it's one day at a time, you know, but I'm gaining strength each day I go.
Good, good. There are people out here right now who go to church, some don't go to church, who don't know Christ as their Savior. They think I'm a good person, and God knows my heart, and he's going to get me in. And we all know there's a lot more to it than that. And if there's one thing you would say to that person, you know, you're a nice guy, and you were born, your mother made a nice guy, but God's going to make a holy guy, and there's a difference. And for all the people out there who think nice is good enough, and we both know that's not, what would you say to them to challenge them in making a commitment to Jesus Christ?
I think you got the first thing going for you, being nice. You got the heart of Christ, you know, because that's where it starts at, you know. But also, you got to realize that you got to, you know, become more aware of Christ and try to live. You know, we were made in the image of Christ, you know. So with that said, you know, you have to strive to be better each and every day, even though, you know, we're going to struggle at times. That's the human in us. But I would say just, you know, if you want balance in your life, if you want peace, if you want comfort, anything you're going through, Christ can give it to you. I promise you, because I've been there. You know, I'm still going through it at times. Anything you want in your life, Christ can give it to you. And just being a nice person, it's not going to help. You know, you need Christ in your life.
Good, good, good. Very, amen, amen. Lane Braxton. We had a contest in the church over the last month to come up with a tagline. The tagline is a line that would be used after The Rock as a kind of a promotional slogan that embodies what we're about. And we took about 1,000 suggestions over the internet, and we came up with one. And the winner, he's going to announce the name of the winner, and then we're going to have him come up and give him a hat that his tagline's on the hat. So the winner is
Wayne Braxton.
Give him a hand. Give him a hand. This is for you. Now, what the tagline that he came up with is do something. And it really embodies what we're about. We're not about sitting around watching someone else do something, watching other people just go to church. We want to continue to encourage each other to do something. And so we have these hats. We only printed 500. So if you get one, you're one of the few. It's so new. We just did it yesterday. We only have the website under the hat. They couldn't do the back. But if you get the hat at the thing, and we want to continue to challenge each other. Am I doing something? Are you doing something? Are we doing something? It's not about sitting and watching. Amen? God bless you, man. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you very much. Before LT goes, we want to pray for him. And you know, football, as you all know how much I love football, and all of us love sports and stuff, but sports is going to die off. We're all going to die and be before Christ one day. And we're going to pray for LT that he would keep, that God would protect him from all the world wants him so bad for everything. But Christ has a plan for his life that may be completely separate. And we want to pray that he and his wife, Latosha, would understand what that plan is, that God would protect them, that they can focus on accomplishing what God's plan is and not be distracted by the world. You talk about distractions, amen? So let's all just stand for a second and lift your hands towards him and pray for him and his wife. Lord, we thank you so much for being good to us. We thank you so much for how you blessed LT and his career. Thank you for giving him the physical skills, the mental, emotional skills to do what he does. But most of all, you have a plan for him. You have a plan for his wife. You have a plan for their relationship. And we pray that that would become clearer and clearer to them as the days go by, that you would speak to them with so much power and clarity. They would say, I need to do this because God is speaking to me. And that you would show them how you want to use them, not how the NFL wants to use them or Nike or whatever, but how you want to use them and your plan for their life and your plan for everything they have, all their skills and all their opportunities, all their resources, all their connections. How can they use that to glorify you? And we pray that that will become very clear to them and you would burn it in their heart As Jeremiah said, the gospel was burning his bones like fire and he couldn't hold it back. I pray that they would get a vision from you they can't hold back. Thank you for him being here today. Thank you for him having him be one of our brothers. And we lift him up and pray for him every day as he's out there in front of millions of people constantly, that he would keep his feet grounded on the rock, Jesus Christ. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
I just want to thank everybody for their support and keep on supporting our team. We're going to bring a Super Bowl to you guys. God bless you.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. God bless you. All right. Let's give him a hand. Come on up. Ladarius. I told you I was going to have a heart attack. I was having chest pains going, so excited up here. Can you imagine being in heaven? I mean, just imagine what the sound is going to be like and being in the presence of God and just being overwhelmed. Amen? Amen. I want to tell you a story about Jerry. Y'all know Jerry, the worship leader? He was up here with the white shirt. I want to tell you a story about Jerry. There's his family up there. Oh, there's a worship family. He doesn't even know I'm going to tell the story. It's something I know about him. When he was a little kid, he used to walk to school by this park. And he kind of had a goofy walk. He walked by this park. And there was an old man in the park with his pants way up to his chest. You ever see old people with their pants way up here? This old man was feeding the pigeons, had a little tiny hat on, little cane, little woman, little this. And he was feeding the pigeons. And Jerry went up to the old man and said, "Hey, old man, what's up?" He says, old man said, "Jerry, you need to go to school. You need to stay in school, not do drugs, blah, 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 blah." And Jerry said, "Hey, look, I'm 15 years old, and when I get up, I'm so rich, I don't need to work. I'm just going to quit school and be rich." He said, "What would it profit you if you gained the whole world and lost your soul?" Jerry walked home and said, "You just jealous because you ain't got no money," and he walked away. Jerry came back next day, saw the old man again, and the old man said, "Hey, Jerry, how you doing?" He said, "Hey, old man, we had a party last night. I don't know how Jerry dances, but I'm just going to guess." And the old man said, "Even when you're laughing and having a good time, your heart can be empty and lonely." And Jerry said, "You're just jealous because you wasn't invited," and he walked away. Jerry came back next day, saw the old man again. He seen his little bird had fallen on the ground. The little bird was still alive. He picked the bird up and put it in his hand and put it behind his back. He said, "I'm going to ask the old man, is bird dead or alive? If the old man says the bird is dead, I'm going to show him it's alive. If the old man says the bird is alive, I'm going to crush the bird in my hand and kill it. Serial bird killer. And I'm going to show him it's dead. So no matter what this old man says, I got him." So he went up to the old man and said, "Hey, old man, you think you're so smart, tell me to stay in school, don't do drugs, blah, 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 read the Bible. I got a bird in my hand behind my back. You're so smart. Is it dead or alive? Tell me." The old man didn't say anything. He said, "Old man, I'm going to ask you again. Is that bird in my hand behind my back dead or alive?" He didn't say anything. He said, "Old man, I'm going to ask you one more time. If you don't answer my question, I'm going to smack you upside your bald head. Is this bird in my hand behind my back dead or alive?" And what the old man said to Jerry is what I'm going to say to you. He said, "Jerry, whether that bird is dead or alive, whether that bird will ever fly again, the answer to life and death for that bird is in your hand. It's up to you. Where all of you go after you die is up to you. Jesus did his part. He's laid out salvation for you. And if you don't take it, that's your choice. And he has given you and I an opportunity to have eternal life, to live forever, not only after you die, but to have abundant life today. And this day celebrates the most important event in the history of the world, that a man rose from the dead to prove that he can give that life to you. So we want to give that opportunity to you. And as I share this short message with you, maybe short, I hope that God speaks to you. The title of this message is called, well, let me tell you that in a few minutes. I won't tell you that yet. There was a documentary that Discovery Channel just recently let out called The Tomb of Jesus or something like that. And they claim they found the tomb of Jesus. And they found his bones and all his wife, Mary Magdalene, and his child. Well, there's no evidence he ever had a wife and no evidence he ever had a child. But the whole point of this documentary, and every Easter this comes out, is that people want to attack Jesus. And they want to attack his credibility. And they want to attack the fact that he not only lived and died, and that was he the Lord. But most importantly, they want to attack, did he rise from the dead? Now, you have to understand how critical this fact is. Did he rise from the dead? Now, let's go back up a little bit. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible said the penalty of sin is death. That means every single one of us is going to die and go to hell. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ died in our place to pay for our sin. And then he rose from the dead to prove that he can conquer death and give life to us. And so when people attack whether he rose from the dead, what they're attacking is the whole credibility of the Bible. Because if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, the Bible is not true. If he did not rise from the dead, there's no forgiveness. If he did not rise from the dead, there's no hope beyond the grave. If he did not rise from the dead, we are in a heap of trouble. So him rising from the dead is critical to be true. It's critical. And every single one of us need to know this is not just another holiday. This is the most important day because no other religious leader claimed to be God. No other religious claimed to die for the sins of the world. No other religious leader claimed that he was going to rise from the dead, all of which Jesus Christ did. And so if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, he's a liar and we have no hope. Now, the title of my message today is called, listen very closely, The LT Jesus. Go ahead, laugh, make whatever sound you want to make. Oh, he's going crazy. No. The LT Jesus. You'll figure it out in about 20 minutes why it's that title. I want to tell you a story because is it possible that Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead? I mean, could it be true? And for all of you who see the documentaries, you hear the book, you hear all speculation, the question is it really possible that that could possibly be true? And I want to tell you, no. And here's why. I want you to imagine today, 2007, whatever today's date is, April 8th, that LaDainian Tomlinson, today, started saying on the news, I am not only the greatest football player, but I am the greatest athlete ever to live and ever will live. He started spreading that news. Everyone, and he wanted everybody to wear only number 21. He wanted everyone just to do his workout. And every other sport was ridiculous, and he was the only great athlete ever to live. Everybody else was garbage compared to him. Now, LT's a very popular person here in San Diego. We all appreciate what he does. We like him. He's a nice guy and all kinds of stuff. And he has a lot of popularity. But so imagine today, with all the popularity he has, he starts saying this. And some people bought into it. They're like, yeah, I think he's right. And some people said, nah, that guy's going crazy. We're going to get him. And so people, the religious leaders, we got all up in arms because, you know, he said he was going to die and rise from the dead. I'm so athletic that when I die, I'm going to rise from the dead. Matter of fact, Bruce Lee said that in 1975. You remember that? He's going to die and rise from the dead. 10 years later, he was going to, 1970, he was going to rise from the dead. That brother's still dead. I mean, I don't care how in shape he was. And that brother was in shape. He died. But LT said, no, I'm so in shape. When I die, I'm going to rise from the dead 3 days later. And so what happens is the city council here in San Diego, this is completely hypothetical. The city council votes that he needs to be crucified. And they say, we're going to kill LT. We're tired of this stuff he's talking about. And they kill LT right downtown, okay, on TV. Everyone sees it. Now, before they kill LT, he has a last supper at Dave and Buster's. He has a little, you know, party with the fellas, or, you know, all the team, whoever's still on his side. He has some hot wings and some gravy, you know, whatever. He likes to smell his stuff with gravy, whatever. He has the last supper. Next day, they crucify him right there downtown at Horton Plaza, right there in front of the Planet Hollywood, whatever that place is called, and on Broadway, on TV, and they kill him. And then one of the city councilmen, Kevin Faulkner, District 2, where our new church is going to be, so I had to pick him because he's a great guy. He says, you know what, I want to let LT be buried in my tomb. I just bought a new tomb out in El Camino. We're going to put LT out there, and they have a big procession, and they bury him in Kevin Faulkner's tomb. Are y'all following the story? Okay, so here LT, everyone knows who LT is. Everyone knows who Kevin Faulkner is. Everybody saw him get crucified. And he's here in San Diego. And they take him up to El Camino right there in Mira Mesa. They bury him, and they put him in a tomb. Everyone knows where the tomb is because everyone knows who Kevin Faulkner is, and everyone knows where his tomb is. And if you don't know, just follow him where they bury him. And then the city council, the religious leaders, guys like me, we say, you know, we're going to get all the pastors together, and we think if this guy rises from the dead, he's going to topple the church. So get the SWAT. We're going to hire SWAT to guard the tomb. Nobody's going to come in front of the tomb. We're going to get SWAT. We're gonna Navy SEALs. Forget the SWAT. We'll get the Navy SEALs, and we're going to guard the tomb, and we're going to have the rangers all around the cemetery because we don't want any other athletes or flunkies to come steal the body and say he rose from the dead. Are you following my story now? Okay. Is there any way that brother could rise from the dead and us not know it? Is there any way you cannot know it? We know where he's buried. We know whose tomb he's buried in. Everybody knows him. And all you got to do is go there. Now, LT, he rises from the dead. And for 40 days, he walks around San Diego. He doesn't have to go anywhere else. TV carriers, cameras following him. And he walks around, everyone sees him. And then after 40 days, he goes to heaven. He goes to heaven. And all of a sudden, everybody starts wearing 21 jerseys. All the other sports shut down. No more basketball, no more baseball. No, people aren't even playing backgammon. Everybody is playing football. For 2,000 years, everybody's playing football. And here we are 2,000 years later. Now we're in the year 4,000. And someone comes along and says, LT didn't rise from the dead. Well, how could that be possible? There is no way. Because we knew where he was buried. We knew him. And we knew whose tomb he was buried in. SWAT was guarding the tomb. And there was no way anyone could have stole his body. Here we are now. Let's go back 2,000 years. Jesus Christ is living. Jesus Christ is claiming to be God. Jesus Christ says, I am and the Father are one. Jesus Christ says, if you believe in me, you will have life. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ walks on water. He heals the blind. He raises the dead. He heals the mute and the crippled. He's doing all this amazing stuff. And the religious people are starting to get antsy. And Jesus Christ says, if you kill me, I will rise in 3 days. If you kill me, I'll rise in 3 days. Now you have to understand, Jesus Christ lived in a place, let's say El Cajon, Santee, Lakeside area. I ain't trying to say that's like Jerusalem, but I'm just saying size-wise. I ain't trying to say it's like Jerusalem. But just pick an area that small. 80,000 people. We're not talking 3 million. 80,000 people. And Jesus' hometown is in Rancho Bernardo. But he comes down to Santee every now and then to hang it with the, kick it with the Cowboys. And he does his ministry down there. Heals a few brothers. Actually, there are brothers living out there now. So he heals a few brothers out there. I ain't want to gossip, but it's changing, but that's okay. Just making an observation. And he comes down there, and you know, he does little stuff with some all different kinds of people out there. He does all these miracles for 3 years. And then the people in Santee, there is no other anybody else in San Diego but the people in Santee and Lakeside, Elko. And that's all those people are. Because that's how, when Jesus lived, it was 80,000 people. And he says, you know what? I'm going to die and rise from the dead. And the city council there, Sanhedrin, they condemn him to death. And this is where we're going to pick up the story. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And by the way, if you have your communion, we're going to take communion. If you take out that little cup, be very careful because that juice in there is dangerous. Matthew 26, 26. As you turn there, I'll keep talking. Jesus says, the Father and I are one. They say, blasphemy. We need to kill you. Jesus forgives sin. They say, only God can forgive sin. We're going to kill you. Jesus says, I am the Christ, the Son of Man. I will come on the clouds and you will see me seated at the right hand of the Father. And they say, we have to kill you. And so right before they killed him, he had the Last Supper. He didn't have it at Dave and Buster's though. Verse 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and take, eat. This is my body. If you will, take out that little cup and that wafer. Be very careful. You take out that little wafer. Verse 26 says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and take, eat. This is my body. He was preparing them. Soon I will be physically crucified and beat, as we will see in a minute. So right now, in remembrance of that, we're going to bow for a word of prayer. I'm going to take the wafer in 1 minute. Lord, we just thank you that you allowed your body to be crucified. Thank you that you allowed your body to be beaten and nailed. And we take this bread acknowledging you did that for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Very carefully, open that little cup. Very carefully. Lord, we thank you that you shed your sinless blood to pay for our sins. And we acknowledge that today. And we remember that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take the cup. So Jesus Christ says, I'm going to die and rise from the dead. We had the Last Supper. And then they arrest him in public. And they beat him in public. Let me read Matthew 27, verse 27. It says, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered a whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed on his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat on him and took him and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took a robe and put it on him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. So here Christ is in a very small town of 80,000 people where everybody knows everybody and everybody knows him. And here we have a Sanhedrin of 71 people, religious leaders condemn him to death. And then we have the Roman government, the only government, the only police force there is, beat him and crucify him in public. And they lead him away to be crucified on a hill where everybody can see. And then the Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 57, they bury him in a tomb of somebody who everybody knows. In verse 57, it says, when evening had come, there was a rich man from Arimathea called Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be given him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped him in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock, and rolled a large stone against the door, and he departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting at the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea was part of the committee that condemned Christ. Of course, he wasn't in with it. There were 71 men. He was one of them. My point is this. They knew who he was. They knew where his tomb was. There's no mystery. So there's no mystery where this very controversial world figure is buried. There's no mystery that he was crucified. There's no mystery that he was dead. There's no mystery of what he claimed to be and what he claimed to do. And then the Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 63, that they put a guard in front of his tomb. It says, in verse 63, they said, Sir, we remember while he was still alive, Jesus, and how he said, after 3 days I will rise. After how many days? You know what they said? We remember that he said that. We didn't, no one made that up. These are his enemies saying that. We know that he said that. Verse 64. Therefore, we command you, Pilate, governor, that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal away his body and say to people he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first, because we know everything else he said was a lie. So they thought. And then it says, Pilate said, you have your guard, go your way, make it secure as you know. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. What are we hearing here? We're hearing here that the governor says, take your guard, my Roman soldiers, Rome, their soldiers ruled the land. They were the most advanced fighting soldiers on the planet of the earth. They were the police. They were the army, the navy, the air force. They were everything. And the religious leaders knew where he was buried. Pilate knew where he was buried. And they said, we want you to make the tomb secure, lest anyone say he didn't rise from the dead. Is there any way this guy can rise from the dead and no one know it? No way, it's impossible. So when someone tells you 2,000 years ago, well, he was buried over here, please. He's secure. Look at verse 1, chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Everyone say earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning and his clothing like white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. I have seen a vision of the Lord when I first got saved 23 years ago. And when you see a supernatural being stand in front of you, it will freak you out. Here are these Roman soldiers guarding a dead man. The most advanced fighting soldiers known to man at the time on the planet Earth. The angel comes down, says, "What's up?" And they go, bam. The Jewish disciples could not overtake the Roman soldiers. The Jewish disciples were hiding. They were scared. Their leader was dead. The Jews were going to come and get them for making up all this stuff about the Messiah being on the earth. And here the soldiers are guarding the tomb. And the angel comes and says, "What's up?" They fall over dead. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 5, the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Amen. 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 Then it says, "Come to the place and see where he lay. And go quickly and tell your disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. And behold, I have told you." They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and joy. Basically, they were tripping. And they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, "Rejoice." They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They held him. People ate with him. People worshiped with him. And then it says in verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will seek me." And while they were going, behold, some of the guard came to the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that happened. Some of the Roman soldiers said, "You won't believe what happened." And when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole the body away while you slept." Ho, 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 wait a minute. The soldiers came to the Jewish leaders and says, "You ain't gonna believe this. Some dude in white clothes came down, rolled a stone, there was an earthquake. We passed out and Jesus is gone. Jesus is gone." And the Jew says, "We're done. If he rose from the dead, that means everything else he said is true. That means he really was a Messiah. That means he really is coming back to judge us. That means we be in trouble." They told the soldiers, "We're going to give you money and tell people you went to sleep." Now you have to understand something. These soldiers, if they didn't do their duty, they would be killed. Let's keep reading. Look what it says. Verse 14. "And if this comes to the governor's ears, if he hears that you went to sleep, we will make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And the saying is commonly reported today among the Jews to this day. What they said is that the governor hears you fell asleep. Instead of him killing you, we got your back. In other words, we don't want the word to get out that he rose from the dead. My friends, I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is this, is that it would be impossible for LT to rise from the dead in El Camino with everybody watching and everybody knowing him and everybody knowing his claims and everybody knowing where he was buried and everybody and him walking around San Diego for 40 days. It would be impossible for Jesus Christ to have risen from the dead and no one know it. But how do we really know it? That those disciples who were hiding all of a sudden became bold preachers of the gospel. And you know what their message was? A resurrected Savior. Why? Because they saw him. They touched him. Within 60 days, the church was 10,000 strong in a town of 80,000 people. And their worship day went from Saturday to Sunday. Why? Because they saw him. The bold, the scared disciples who were hiding were so bold in their message that they would die for their faith. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, was crucified upside down. He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." And they crucified him upside down. Stephen was stoned to death. Paul had his head cut off. John was put in a vat of boiling oil. This was the bomb. Watch this. They put him in a vat of boiling oil, and when they put him in, he didn't die. That's the problem. Can you imagine getting put in Nevada boiling oil? I mean, the oil don't even need to be boiling to be hot. It's boiling. They put him in there, try to make him a french fry, and he comes out and goes, I ain't messing with that dude. I ain't messing with that dude. The LT Jesus means the life transforming Jesus. For someone to tell you today that Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, they have no idea the circumstances that existed when he was buried, that there was no mystery where he was buried. For someone to tell you today they found his bones somewhere else is a complete farce. And the only reason they can somewhat get away with it is because everybody who was there was dead. And we just kind of believe what we hear in the news. But what you have to understand, if 2,000 years from today, someone said, oh yeah, LT was buried over there. It's like, no. There's no way it could have been mistaken. Don't be so naive to believe what's on television, but believe what has been happening for 2,000 years, that Christ has been changing people's lives. And by the way, the reason all these people believed, and the reason all these people changed their worship day to Sunday, the reason the church exploded, the reason the disciples became so bold, is because what Christ has been telling them they knew now was true. Because who can rise from the dead except God? Who has power over life except God? And here you are today with your life in your hand. And God is telling you today, let me tell you, many people will say, I am the Lord. Many people will say, there's Christ, believe in that, believe in that. But Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And what you have to understand is that there is no other Savior in the world. And by the way, all these people, all these other religions that people have, they have no one in their religion that claims to be God. They have no one that claims to be God. And often we give other religious leaders credit for something they never said. Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed to have the answer to life and death. And he proved it by dying and rising from the dead. He is the unquestionable King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the universe. There is no other that can compare. And the evidence is so overwhelming. That's why the documentary that they did, they showed it one time and shut it down because it was so ridiculous. But here you are today. You have to ask yourself, if Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead, that means everything else he said was true. That we're sinners, that the penalty of our sin is death, and that one day you're going to stand before God to pay for your sin. But the reason he died was to pay for your sin for you. And he says, I want to give you a free pass. And the reason he rose from the dead, one, he's God, he lives forever. But he also was demonstrating to you and me that he has the power of life and death in his hand. Nothing else has, and no one else has. So today, what are you going to do? Are you going to give your life to him and say, yes, I trust someone who came from the grave and who is alive today. I trust someone who overcame death. Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to trust myself? Many of you in here have asked Christ to be your Savior before. I challenge you. If you've given your life to him, start living like it. Don't play it. Some of you people here have been Christians a long time, and you haven't been church since last year we were here. And I'm telling you on behalf of the Lord, that God has something for you in your life, and you can't accomplish that doing it your way. If he died and rose from the dead for you, the least you can do is give him all of your life. Now, there are some of you in here who've never asked Christ to be your Savior. Let me give you a little bit of advice. You're going to die. People are going to cry. And they're going to be shocked that you're dead. But you're going to die. It's coming. And when you die, you're going to stand before God. And he's going to ask you one question. Not were you a good person? Not how many times you go to church? He's going to say, my son Jesus Christ came and lived 33 years. He was brutally murdered for you. And he rose from the dead and proved that he was unquestionably the King of Kings. What did you do with my son? Did you accept him? Well, you know, tell me what was even close to being like him. Tell me what you had that was even close to rising from the dead, even close to being so credible. Nothing. So today, in a few minutes, you have an opportunity to say, Jesus, you know what? I believe you rose, and I believe you're coming back. And I don't want to be accountable for having rejected you. So in this room and in Peterson Gym, I'm going to ask you right now, just to very quietly close your eyes and bow your head. And I want you to listen very carefully. Close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to tell you, fact number one, Jesus Christ knows who you are. He knows your pain, your sin. He knows how lost you are. He knows your attitude towards Him. He knows how empty you are. He knows how bad you've been trying to make your life happy and make it work without Him. And even though He said you've rejected Him all this time, He loves you so much and is so excited for an opportunity today to forgive you and love you and cleanse you. If you're in Peterson Gym, God is just as much over there as He is here. And God loves you. In a minute, we're going to pray. And if you would like to acknowledge Christ, His death and His resurrection, if you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, if you would like to submit your life to Him, this is your opportunity. And we're going to give you an opportunity to say a prayer, and it's going to be something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge You died and rose from the dead for me. I acknowledge that You're God. Please forgive me. Very simple. And then we're going to ask you to stand. Oh, yeah. And then we're going to ask you to come forward so we can speak to you. Oh, yeah. The Christian life is living in public. Christ lived, died in public. So if today you're saying, you know what? I don't care who's around me. I don't care what anyone thinks. I am ready to give my life and trust my life with the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. What am I thinking? If you would like Jesus to transform your life, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. Don't pray it out loud, but as you pray, you must believe and have faith that yes, Jesus loves me and He will forgive me today. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like to be forgiven today, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. And I believe the penalty of my sin is death. But I believe that Jesus Christ loves me. That He died and rose from the dead for me. Jesus, please forgive me. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. I accept You as my Savior. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Christ to be your Savior, what you just told God was this: God, I give up. I belong to You now. No more fighting, no more resisting, no more excuses, no more half-stepping. I give up. You did enough for me. Now it's my time to serve You. If you prayed that prayer, that's what you told God. So what I'm going to do in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And when you're standing up, you're saying, I don't care about anybody else. I just care about honoring God. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, no matter where you are around this arena, we're just going to ask you right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, no clapping, no reacting. Just stand to your feet and acknowledge His forgiveness in your life. Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. No clapping. God bless you. God bless you. All around this arena right now, you're saying, yes, Lord, forgive me. I do not want to go to hell. I want to be forgiven. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All around. We see you all around the arena. Stand up to your feet. God bless you. 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 We see you. We see you. We see you. Today, Easter, April 8, 2007, your spiritual birthday. Stand up to your feet. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. If all y'all who are standing can just open your eyes and look at me for 1 minute. Matter of fact, everybody can open your eyes. No clapping. We have to do this very carefully. We'll congratulate them in a minute. All y'all who are standing, We're going to ask y'all in a minute to come down. Some of y'all can't come straight down. You have to go up and back around. So we're going to ask everybody else not to start running out. Let's get these people down here, please. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to make your way down. Ushers will help you. You're going to come right down to the front, and you're going to walk right up front of the stage to the back. So we're just going to walk you out and walk them out. Now, everybody else, if we can let these people get down, we do not want to lose them. But what we do want to do is we want to cheer them. Now, it's going to take a while. The least we can do is cheer them as they make their way down. No matter how long it takes, this is a big deal. Wait. This is a big deal. So if you have just asked Christ to be your Savior, only those people, if you could come out of your seat and start coming down to the aisle. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Let's give them a hand. Come on. All the way down to the aisle. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Very good. Come on. Very good, Haley. All in the back, everybody. Amen. Come on down. Come on. Very good. Let's cheer them. Come on. Amen. Who's the man? Who's the man? Come on down. Come on down. They're coming from all over. They're coming from all over. Amen. 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 Bring your friends if you want them. You can come with them. Bring them. Grab their hand and bring them. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give them some stamina. Let's show them how much we appreciate them. Come on. Let's show them how much we appreciate them. They're still coming down. They're still coming down. Come on down. Amen. Amen. Who's the man? Who's the man? Please let them get out of their seats. Please let them get out of their seats. Come on. Amen. They're still coming. 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 Amen. They're still coming. Amen. Amen. They're still coming. Look, they're still coming. Let's keep clapping for them. Come on. Let's keep encouraging them. They're still coming. They're still coming down. They're still coming down. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. One more time. Say Jesus. Let's keep clapping for them. All right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. They're still coming down. Still coming down. They're still coming down the back. They're still coming down the back. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Lives are being changed right now. Lives are being changed right now. Come on, let's get them across. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. You guys are doing a great job. You're doing a great job. They're still coming down. They're still coming. They're still coming. Let them get out. Let them come on down. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give them one more burst. Let's give them another burst. Let's give them a burst. Amen. Amen. Who's the man? Who's the man? The angels are singing. The angels are rejoicing. Amen. 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 That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. Woo! Jesus! the man. Amen. I think that's it. We got more? We got more? Come on. Come on. Here we go. Look at the hand. Hey. Hey. Amen. Anybody else want to get cheered for? Just walk in front of the thing. We're going to cheer for you. Amen. 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 Ah, let me say this to you. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Let me say one thing to all you Rock family. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for coming early. If you are a 9:45 or 11:45 service person, we would highly encourage you to go to 8 o'clock service. We are maxed out at church over Ruffin Road, and we want to make more room for people to come next week. And I want to pray for you. Have a great time with your family. Remember, Jesus Christ is risen. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. What an amazing day. Thank you so much for being good to us. And Lord, we pray that we would be better Christians over the next 12 months than we were the last 12 months. No matter how good and faithful we were, let's take it to another level. Let's do something for you. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Happy Easter. Happy Easter.